Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Joe Biden calls for unity as he's sworn in as the 46th president of the United States.
This is America's day. This is democracy's day. A day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve. Through a crucible for the ages, America has been tested anew, and America has risen to the challenge.
We'll have more on the inauguration and his speech. Plus, the poet that stole the show from some of the nation's top talent. It's Wednesday, January 20th. I'm Anne Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. Shortly before noon today, Joe Biden took the oath of office. He was sworn in by Chief Justice John Roberts, becoming the nation's 46th president.
I, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
Just before him, Kamala Harris was sworn in as Vice President by Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
That I will well and faithfully discharge
the duties of the office on which I am about to enter. So help me God.
Harris is the first woman and the first Black and South Asian American to hold that role. But that wasn't the only thing that made this an inauguration day like no other. Concerns about the coronavirus forced the public viewing and much of the pomp and circumstance to be canceled. President Trump left the White House without meeting with his successor. Trump held a separate event at Joint Base Andrews before leaving for Florida. But former Presidents Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush were in attendance, along with a number of other dignitaries and dozens of lawmakers.
So I'm here today, as I have been for the 12 inauguration, for the 16 inauguration, and now for the 20 inauguration, to demonstrate that we as Americans, we know how to do democracy.
I believe in our system of government, and I'm here to show and pay respect to the incoming President Biden and the institution of Congress and the peaceful transfer of power.
To see this new chapter begin is so exciting, and I'm pleased to be here with my colleagues. And to celebrate today, to celebrate our country.
That was Arkansas Republican Representative Steve Womack, former House Speaker Paul Ryan, and Virginia Democratic Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, speaking before the ceremony with our Capitol Hill reporter Siobhan Hughes, who joins us now. Siobhan, there was concern after the riot at the Capitol 2 weeks ago that we could see a repeat of that violence at the inauguration. We've reported about the increased security. You've been on the ground all day today. What was it like?
This was a very different inauguration. There are large fences surrounding not just the Capitol building and not just the offices adjacent to the Capitol building, but really the entire area surrounding it. So this was really a fortress. This was an inauguration fortified against a potential attack. And in that, there was a sense of trepidation. There were National Guardsmen lining each of the various perimeters you had to cross, many of them armed with guns. On top of that, you had the pandemic. You had people going through multiple layers of security checks. So it was not an easy or burden-free inauguration. A very, very different mood and environment. And of course, the occasional whirring of helicopters overhead. And in the silences, you could hear the whir of the generators that are used to power the improvised shelters set up for all of the security forces that are here.
And what was the mood?
People started out, I think, much more, maybe a little bit wary or anxious. And as the event wore on, I think people got a lot more comfortable, a lot calmer, a lot more certain in their sense that the institution of Congress, the institutions that are Washington, would continue. There was a sense of order, a sense of restoration that was very calming, I would say.
The National Mall was closed to the general public, and watching at home, it looked very different. What can you tell us about the look and feel and the attendance? What stood out to you?
You know, I did see a number of Republicans show up, and so in the desire for a peaceful transition of power, I could say that was certainly bipartisan in feeling. While the sparse attendance wasn't surprise, it definitely stood out. In place of the sea of people you would normally see on the mall, there were rows and rows and rows of American flags. That was sort of cheery. And, you know, just I think that the fact of everybody showing up, all of the former presidents and their spouses showing up, the fact of Mitch McConnell appearing with Joe Biden, the fact of Roy Blunt joining with Amy Klobuchar to perform their respective duties chairing the inaugural committee, you know, again, just projecting an air of continuity and a restoration.
That's our Capitol Hill reporter, Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Good to be here.
U.S. stocks rose to fresh records today. The Dow closed up 258 points, or 0.8%. The Nasdaq gained 2%, and the S&P 500 rose 1.4%. Here's our markets reporter, Akani Otani.
I think the number one most important thing that investors observed Wednesday was a peaceful transition of power. Of course, in the last couple of weeks, we've already seen, as evidenced by the Capitol Hill riots, that there isn't necessarily a guarantee that these things happen smoothly. And so to see the Biden administration step into power Wednesday, I think that's just another thing that investors are happy to, you know, check off the list and not have to worry about. And now they can turn their attention to many of the policy proposals that the administration has put forward. The most important item on the list, I think, is definitely the $1.9 trillion spending package that Biden has put forward to help the economy and to help the U.S. fight the pandemic. And of course, we've already seen things like small caps and bond yields rise in response to that. But as we get further into the next couple of months, there are other important areas that investors say they're going to be taking a look at, including healthcare, infrastructure, which is another area that the Biden administration has proposed increasing spending for. Renewable energy was similarly thought to potentially benefit, depending on what happens in Congress, and then things like trade policy as well.
Coming up after the break, President Biden's inauguration speech and how it sets the stage for the next 4 years.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
As we've heard, this was a very different inauguration day in Washington. There were no crowds and there will be no balls. But some parts of the pomp remained, and that included the presidential speech. 60 years ago, President Kennedy stressed the need for civic action in his famous demand that Americans ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. 40 years ago, President Reagan, amid an economic downturn, declared that, quote, government is not the solution to the problem. Government is the problem. President Biden clearly faces multiple crises, a pandemic, an economic downturn, and a country that is deeply divided politically. His message was about unity. Joining me now is Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for being here.
Happy to be with you.
So, Jerry, we knew that unity was going to be a big focus of Biden's speech today.
Today, on this January day, my whole soul is in this, bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation. And I ask every American to join me in this cause. Uniting to fight the foes we face, anger, resentment and hatred, extremism, lawlessness, violence, disease, joblessness, and hopelessness. With unity, we can do great things, important things.
Jerry, a lot of presidents talk about bringing the nation together, but this moment felt different.
It did feel different. And what is interesting to me is that if you go back to when Joe Biden announced he was going to run for president a year and a half ago, basically he struck this unity theme then. Because it was a time of then still divisive rhetoric and anger, a time of racial reckoning that we didn't even understand how big it was going to be yet. And oddly, that message is now more resonant than ever. So he is saying the same things about unity that he's been saying all through the campaign. But after the events of the post-election period, when legitimacy of his election was denied and debated, and a mob ransacked the Capitol, all of a sudden, this unity message, which has been part and parcel of the Joe Biden package all along, feels like exactly the right message for the moment. And that made it, I think, even more powerful than it would have been under different circumstances.
Let's talk about the Capitol riot. The inauguration comes just 2 weeks after that day, and Biden forcefully addressed it in his speech.
And here we stand, just days after a riotous mob thought they could use violence to silence the will of the people, to stop the work of our democracy, to drive us from this sacred ground. It did not happen. It will never happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Not ever.
This riot was meant to undermine the very moment we saw today, to prevent Biden from taking office.
We've learned again that democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed.
And Biden, in a way, turned that into a victory.
He did, and that made it all the more poignant. He said essentially they, the mob, attempted to stop this inauguration. They did not do that, but he didn't dwell on it. What he said was that this is a sign that democracy will always prevail. It's fragile, he said, but it has survived. It will always survive. So he turned that into kind of a forward-looking message that if we can get through that, live through that, and come out on the other side of what we just experienced, then we will be fine as a democracy. And our message has to be democracy will not die on our watch. And that, again, is a very dramatic thought, and that was a very dramatic moment.
Of course, Jerry, there are very daunting challenges up ahead.
Few people in our nation's history have been more challenged or found a time more challenging or difficult than the time we're in now. Once-in-a-century virus that silently stalks the country has taken as many lives in 1 year as America lost in all of World War II. Millions of jobs have been lost. Hundreds of thousands of businesses closed. A cry for racial justice, some 400 years in the making, moves us. The dream of justice for all will be deferred no longer.
Jerry, what do you make of this moment? Do you think Biden struck the right tone here in laying out plainly these challenges and his belief that the nation will rise to meet them?
It's an extraordinary moment. You know, these are challenges that no president has had to face, at least not as a package. You have a pandemic. You have a period of racial reckoning that is really as searing as anything since the civil rights movement in the 1960s. You have divisiveness around the nation, and you have an election that was disputed for 2 months plus after it was completed. So he takes office amidst all of that. And I think what he was trying to say is we will need this unity that I am talking about to get through all of these challenges, especially the coronavirus pandemic. You know, if President Trump was criticized for downplaying the pandemic, Joe Biden's trademark has been to not flinch from the severity of the pandemic. And he's carrying that through his inauguration. And it's clear that he knows it's going to dominate the first couple of months of his administration. So he's telling people, this isn't going to be fun or easy. I'm telling you, it's going to be hard.
Right, and despite all those challenges, Biden's tone seemed not only to be conciliatory, but also optimistic. One of the big moments here was reflecting on the historic inauguration of Vice President Kamala Harris.
And today, we mark the swearing-in of the first woman in American history elected to national office, Vice President Kamala Harris. Don't tell me things can't change.
how do you think this moment set the tone for Biden's presidency?
It allowed him to say that we are on an arc of history, to use a term that his once boss, President Barack Obama, liked to use, that we will be able to move along this arc of history to a better place. And that's kind of a trademark Joe Biden kind of message. And what I think is really striking is that any one of these things that we've been talking about, the inauguration of the first woman vice president, the inauguration of the first Indian American and African American woman vice president, the time of the pandemic, the period after the mob ransacked the Capitol, the fact that his predecessor, Donald Trump, wasn't even there to help swear him in as the new president, any one of those things would have been extraordinary. To put them all together is really remarkable. And it kind of, it's a little bit numbing, but also a little bit inspiring to have a day in which all those things are on the table, on the plate, and America is staring them all in the face and deciding, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do it.
Wall Street Journal Executive Washington Editor Jerry Seib. Jerry, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And finally, music legends Lady Gaga. Jennifer Lopez and Garth Brooks.
But now I see.
All sang at today's inauguration. But their performances have been somewhat eclipsed by a new star, 22-year-old poet Amanda Gorman.
When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade?
In 2017, she was designated the nation's first National Youth Poet Laureate. Today, she became the youngest poet to read her work at a presidential inauguration. Gorman says her poem, The Hill We Climb, was inspired by speeches from former abolitionist Frederick Douglass and President Abraham Lincoln. It was finished on the evening of January 6th, after rioters stormed the U.S. Capitol.
We've seen a force that would shatter our nation rather than share it. Would destroy our country if it meant delaying democracy. And this effort very nearly succeeded. But while democracy can be periodically delayed, it can never be permanently defeated. In this truth, in this faith we trust, for while we have our eyes on the future, history has its eyes on us.
But she closed with these words.
When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it.
And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.